discussing the brachas of Shaloh Asani, and we gave an approach. It's not the universally accepted approach, but we gave an approach based on the Rashi and Sefer Menachos that the brachas are primarily focused on the kedusha as reflected by mitzvos, and that the Shaloh Asani Goy, Shaloh Asani Yove, Shaloh Asani Isha series is meant to create, if you will, a progression of how many mitzvahs a person was obligated in. In other words, what degree of sanctity is one endowed with that's reflected by the degree of commandments that they have. And there's one exception to the rule that we put together based on the approach of Moshe Feinstein and Soloveitchik, even though they didn't comment on these brachos per se, but it would appear an appropriate tie-in based on what they developed, that males and females have equal kedusha, but in the case of males, they have greater obligations. So the difference between Shaloh Asani Eved and Shaloh Asani Isha is that the brach of Shaloh Asani Eved is a reflection of the greater kedusha as reflected by the fact that you have more mitzvahs. But Shaloh Asani Isha is not a reflection of the greater kedusha that you have as a result of having more mitzvahs, but rather, just practically, that you chayiv in more. What's so great to be chayiv in more mitzvahs? So the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed or so, says that Rav Yosef, when he was a blind Torah scholar, it's quoted throughout the Gemara. He was blind, one of two people who are famously blind in the Gemara, Rav Yosef and Rav Sheshes. So Rav Yosef said that if anyone will tell me that blind people are potter for mitzvos, then I'll make them a festive meal. Why? Because he was blind and he was doing mitzvos. He said, look, my whole life I'm volunteering. It's great. I'm not even doing things I'm obligated in. There's a machlokas in the Gemara between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Huda as to whether or not blind people are potter from mitzvos. It's generally assumed that the chayiv and negative commandments, but that maybe they're potter from positive commandments. Rabbi Huda says they are, and the Chum say they're not. We paskin that they're not. With rare exception, certain exceptions to the rule, but basically blind people are chayiv in all mitzvos, except for those that are directly connected to the sight, but the chayiv in all mitzvos. So for example, I think they're potter from being ola rego. I have to visit the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim, the three festivals, because that's called the mitzvah of Re'iyah. They have to see the Pnei Hazara. So that's the technicality. But everything else, talis, tefillin, stokah, so on and so forth, chayiv and everything. But Rav Yehuda has a minority opinion, which is not accepted, at the potter. So Rav Yosef says that if you would tell me that blind people are potter for mitzvahs, I'll make a party, because this way I'm going to get more schar for my mitzvahs, because I'm volunteering. I'm not obligated. But then after he heard the famous statement, which is now pretty famous, but then it wasn't, that Gal HaMetzuvah Osa and Misha Ein Metzuvah Osa, that greater is one who is obligated than one who is not obligated. In other words, one who is obligated and performs the commandment or prevents himself from violating an Aveira that they are bound not to violate. So that is a higher level. Following that is more divine reward than one who volunteers. Tosis gives the popular reason for that, because one who is obligated has the Yetzer. So if you got to get the minion on time, so you have a part of you that says don't. But if you're volunteering, so it's easy come, easy go. What does it matter? If I make it, fine. If not, not. So it's sometimes easier to do an act that's voluntary than an act that's obligatory. So in light of that, because l'fum tzara agra, the more pain, the more gain, meaning the more difficult the commandment is to fulfill, the more rewards you get. So therefore, if Yosef switched his statement that anyone who would tell me that blind people are chayiv in mitzvos, I'll make a seuda. And indeed, that's the halacha. So you put it all together, so women are saying, Shaloh Asani Isha, that you have more obligations, meaning you have the opportunity for more connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the next world for the same mitzvos that a man and woman would do at the same time. So if a woman would hear a shofar and a man would hear a shofar, so a man would get double buck, if you will, for that same mitzvah. And ultimately, if the whole goal of life is connection to Hashem Yisborach, so therefore we're happy that we have more obligations, meaning ultimately, in that plane, more connection. It doesn't necessarily mean that any given man will have more schar than any given woman, because the woman might be fulfilling her commandments much better than the man is. Or the woman might be injecting into her voluntarism much more effort than the man is into his obligatory obligation. There's a certain relativity here as well. If the woman has to walk 5 miles to get to the shul to your shofar, right, and the man just rolls out of bed and then wanders into the shul right before Tkiya Shofar and misses Shacharis, so I imagine that counterbalances the fact that one is obligated and one is voluntary. Okay, so that closes the summarize what we said earlier, but I'd like to focus on today, and this had a lot of interesting fallout as well in terms of other topics, is why the negative. This is what the Mefarshim, the Magen Avraham, the Taz, the Bach, many of the commentaries, both on the Siddur and on the Shulchan Aruch, are bothered by. If the brachas are meant to thank a Kadosh Baruch Hu for a certain state of being, so why not say things in the positive? Like we mentioned earlier, based on the Girsa of the Gemara, that's wrong. Why not have Shesan Yisrael? Isn't that a way to convey that meaning in a way that's less, if you will, attacking or provocative or like confronting? So let a man say Shasani Yisrael, and a woman will say Shasani Yisraelis, and everyone will be happy. Or Shasani Ben Chorin, and then the, you know, the slave lobby will be happy. Again, I say things off the cuff here, it's not for publication. And the same Shasani Ish, and then the women will be happy. Right? Why be negative? Doesn't the negativity imply that it's a certain like relief? Well, no. Happy that didn't happen to me. Now that someone tripped, and you breathe a sigh of relief. You know, happy. I missed the hole. You know, I didn't fall in. Or someone gets into a car accident ahead of you. Wow. You know, Baruch Hashem, I didn't arrive a second later. So doesn't it imply a certain negativity? Meaning, not just attitudinally, in terms of that, isn't it better to be positive? But that you're degrading. As you're saying, this is bad. So that's what the Mefarshim ask, with the premise that that was never meant to be the implication of the brachos. Certainly the latter ones. And therefore, they question why it wasn't written in the positive. So there are a few answers that are given. I'd like to go through them with you, at least to some extent inside. You can take the sheet, we have a simon and vov.
Right, you can actually.
Yeah, absolutely. The photocopy of the big Shulchan Aruch. From which, of course, the Mishnah Berurah was summarized. Mishnah Berurah, by the way, has a summary of these answers as well. Simon and Vav will read the Shulchan Aruch, Sarach Levarech, B'chol Yom, Shlosh Sani Goy, Shlosh Sani Yav, Shlosh Sani Yishu. Says the Taz, Rabbi Makshim, and many who ask, Lama Tiknu Bracha Zo Derech Shlila, Lo Derech Chiv? How come they instituted this Bracha in the negative, not in the positive? Parenthetically, I just wanted to point out a grammatical note. In Hebrew, modern, in addition to rabbinic, shlili means negative. Chiyuvi means positive. It doesn't mean obligatory. In rabbinic Hebrew, a chiyuv also means an obligation. It has two meanings. Chiyuv or chiyuvi means positive. It also means obligation. In modern Hebrew, there's no such thing as a chiyuv. It's chova. If you tell someone, is this class obligatory? Ha'im ha-kita zot or ha-shiur hazeh chiyuvi? So I look at you like, I mean, is it a positive experience? Do people like it? So I asked someone, so how do you say is it obligatory? So you have to think for a while. So I said, yeah, we say the shir chova. But in rabbinic Hebrew, it has two meanings. Anyway, so here he's referring to the meaning of positive. Lo der chiyuv. Da'ainu shasani Yisrael. V'chein b'vircha shlo asani isha. Why not say shasani ish? Umetartzim. Okay, we're going to skip the first answer because that I wanted to elaborate on further. So we're going to go to the next answer. So skipping two lines. Umori v'chami, you see that? Umoach. See that Umoach there? It's an abbreviation. The end of the fourth line on the top, the end of it. Umem vavches. Umori v'chami. My master, my father-in-law. Who was his master, his father-in-law? The Bach. Tobias Chadash, whom we've consulted with Baruch Hashem this year in a record amount of time. Two very, very important comments on the Rashi. His name was Real Circus. He lived in the 1500s, I believe. About 1500? Somewhere around there. Maybe straddled the 17th century also. So he had an illustrious son-in-law as well, the Taz, the Mogen David Turezov, the one who wrote one of the primary commentaries in Shulchan Aruch. His name was David Siegel Halevi. So he had his father. He always quoting him all the time and usually arguing with him. Say facetiously, you'll strike the director too. You know, he took out the natural enmity for in-laws, but halachic debate. No, that's just a joke. But they had Baruch Hashem. They had very important halachic debates. Where sometimes the Bach is quoted by the Taz glowingly, but very often he quotes him and he says, with all due respect, I don't see eye to eye with my father-in-law. So Pirish. Lefish im hayim avarach shesani Yisrael hayim ashmo ben chorin velo isha. If he, let's say a person would say it in the positive. So you say Shasani Yisrael. So that implies that you're free and you're not a woman. So what's so terrible about that? So the Taz doesn't elaborate too much. Let's take a look at the moment of Rome. It's cut and dalit, where he quotes the same answer. You see where I underlined a little bit and so I circled the test. You see where the line begins, Veli Nira, Vav Lamed Nun. Veli Nira. The Imayim Avarach Shasani Yisrael, I switched to the other column, Mogan Avram. Lohay Yachal Avarach Shasani Ben Chorin, Shasani Ish, Shakol Bechlal. The Kavanoth of Avarach, I'll call Dover Bifnei Atzmo. That's the abbreviation, Beis Peyayin. What's he saying here? Ad Kam Lashon Bach. This is the end quote to the Bach. Let's say she said Shasani Yisrael. That's all inclusive. Shasani Yisrael means you made me a free Jewish male. Otherwise you say Israelis. So then you're not going to be able to say any other brachos. That's it. Three in one, right? So nowadays, you know, we're into all in one, right? Printer, fax, scanner, cell phone, you know, does the laundry also. And it's great. So you got everything in one bracha. What's so terrible? That's exactly the Taz's question on the Bach. That's why he doesn't like his father-in-law's pshat. What's so terrible? Isn't it true that in halacha, if you have a choice of saying hamotzi, and including the glass of water, right? Unless you're familiar with this halacha. And you're not dying of thirst. You're not so thirsty. You could wait. So it's better to wait for hamotzi and then have the water included in the bracha of hamotzi, rather than making a shakal beforehand and then taking the hamotzi, because that's kind of a bracha shein etzricha. You don't have to make that bracha. You could already include it. So that's what the Taz asks on the Bach. What's so terrible to have a 3-in-1? Right? Okay, but let's focus now on the answer of the Bach. If you said Shasani Yisrael, so you would include everything. And we want to thank Hashem for each individual aspect of our entity. We want to thank Him for the Judaism, we want to praise Him for the freedom, and we want to praise Him for the masculinity in terms of, as it spells out, in terms of mitzvah. In terms of mitzvah, the obligation. This is the Bach's answer. You have to be negative so we can get in three brachos. So they ask, okay, so say 2 negative, 1 positive. Right? Shelo asani goy, shelo asani yavid, shasani ish. That's great. Right? So what would be wrong with that solution? The Bach doesn't address it, but what do you think is wrong with that solution? Keep in mind that the tefillah is not just written as a hodgepodge of ideas. Right? It's written poetically. It's a certain structure. That's why that gears in the Gemara right away. Blatantly wrong. Shasani Yisrael doesn't work. Doesn't work with the structure of Brach. So when I taught this elsewhere, so there's an obvious question in the Bach. Also, you could arrange it positively and you have 3. How so? But if you say Shasani Yisrael, you include everything. Okay, yeah?
Before going on.
Before that, yeah.
I mean, Gomorrah, didn't they present it as 2 positives and negative?
Yeah, but we pointed out that's an error.
Oh, right.
It's an error not just by process of analytical elimination. It's an error because all the old manuscripts have Shalom Asani Goy. We noted that. We were surprised at the Gra that even bothers quoting that Kirsa. But, so how could you solve this? How could you have it, go ahead?
Shasani Ish.
Okay, you say Shasani Ish. So that doesn't include anything but masculinity. Okay, then we move on to Ben Chorin. And then we move on to Yisrael. Right? What's wrong with that? So it's interesting, if you go a little further in the Mogen Avraham, he says, "Amash mitvarav din tov berach shesani Yisrael shelo yomer shelo atzani eved o isha." Points out that if you make a mistake and you say shesani Yisrael, according to the Bach's approach, then you wouldn't say the other brachas if that's the first bracha you said. Right? And the Mogen Avraham suggests that maybe not. Maybe the word Yisrael refers to males and females, right? Because the Torah, let's say, is written in masculine language and it normally refers to man and woman together. Okay, so that's an interesting technological discussion. So why not take Josh's solution? Say, Shasani Ish, Shasani Ben Chorin, Shasani Yisrael. This way you could be positive and have your cake and eat it too, right? You could have all three brachos and be positive and solve all the world's problems. So the Bach doesn't address that. He takes for granted, obviously, by giving this answer, he's taking for granted that that is not a viable solution. Why not? So I threw this out to a class. And now we're going to do it again. Baruch Hashem, the high level class here. What can you come up with in terms of what would be wrong with that structure? The Bach takes it for granted that of course, is not relevant. Go ahead. Steve, right? Yeah?
We kind of have an Atzricha now.
The what?
We don't have issues of Bracha and Atzricha.
Oh, so the Taz raises that problem about why bother having three brachos when you could have one. But the Bach is assuming that, no, we want to have three brachos. So once you want to have three brachos, why not phrase it in the positive and switch the order so you'll be able to
have
three?
Question is,
yeah.
So if a woman says she's on Yisrael, which is still applicable, it doesn't include everything. It certainly does not include Yish.
Right, but it could be that if she said it, so that means that she's saying it to mean that I'm. Also means so if a woman said Shasani Israel, then she could be able to say Shasani Kirtzon. Okay, it could be.
Right,
that so could be
right.
Shasani
Israel does not include Yish. It just it precludes Shasani Goy or Wait, no, we already took care of that. But
if a man is saying Shasani Israel, the Bach is assuming you would include it.
Assumes Aved, right? Because a Jewish slave
right.
would
not be called Israel. A Jewish slave would not say Shalos Ani Eved. No, a Jewish slave.
Yeah.
A Jewish slave probably would say Shalos Ani Eved, because they're the references to an Eved Knani. We spoke about that.
Right, so that includes, right. I wasn't sure about how that worked.
An Eved Knani, if you point it out, is like a half Jew. Just getting back to our question. So again, you might be able to extend it to one more bracha if you said Shasani Israel, as Steve's pointing out.
Right.
But you could rig it in a way where you could definitely have three brachas. Shasani Ish, Shasani Mechorin. Shasani Israel, yeah, get on.
Well, it doesn't make sense to say Shasani first.
Oh, so this is an enormous hashkafa that emerges in this Bach. Just unbelievable. I tried this once in an audience of women, it worked out very well. So, but it's true. It's a true idea. Why not? But that's exactly the point of saying Shasani Ish, that there is a positive aspect of being a man.
Because it's based on the fact that after you've done these other things, if you're just saying making me a man, what does that have to do with anything else?
Oh. So this is the anti-secular view of, if you will, male dominance over women. What's the classic view of why men are better than women? Right? Again, you know, before the feminist movement arose. What do you mean? Of course, men faster, stronger, better, smarter. They're gewaldig. You know, women they just glorify the servants, if you will. I'm being deliberately sarcastic. So, Shasani Ish, I have more muscles. Right. So that the Bach, it's a joke. What that? That's praise to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm a biological Homo sapiens N, as opposed to a biological Homo sapiens F. Big deal. What is this brach about? It's about your unique humanity, not some Darwinian biological freak. Which ultimately, by the way, is why ultimately radical feminism is absolute heresy. Because radical feminism means that I am the way I am only because of some kind of evolutionary freak. So why in any way should that change any kind of life, role, mission, purpose? That radical feminism means that I only am the way I am, not because of some endowed sanctity, mission that endowed with me both a certain type of personality and a certain type of biology because of to track me in a certain way in order to fulfill my ultimate destiny, and the same for men. Right? So, close parentheses. So there is no praise of Shasani Ish outside of Shasani Ish Yehudi. Because now Shasani Ish Yehudi, so now I have more mitzvahs. And even from a non-Jewish perspective, it's interesting that from a non-Jewish perspective, there is no difference between men and women in terms of obligations.
But you've already established, if you're going down the heart, like, you're going down, like you said, should...
No, if you said Shasani Yisrael first, so that's the Bach's point, so that's it, so you can't say any of the brachos, because Yisrael is all-inclusive. But then, as a follow-up on the Bach, we asked, so why not have the positive, but switch the order? But switching the order would mean you'd first say Shasani Ish, and that praise would not be a significant praise in terms of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Right, but once you've established yourself, even like, if you said Shalosani... Goy. You've established yourself now as a Jew.
You mean you said Shalom Sanagoy?
Yeah.
But the whole thrust of our discussion is to try to be positive here. The whole In other words, you could rig a certain combination of positive and negative, and you have to have all the best of everything.
Right.
So you want to preserve either a total negative structure or a total positive structure, granted the poetry, if you will, of the sitter.
But why, though? That's like, just for the poetry sitting?
The sitter is always sensitive to the nuances in language. It's because in turn, if you wanted to give a kind of like Ashkafic reason for it, because it creates a certain greater connection to it. It's not just a stream of consciousness. So one of the reasons why the Anshim Nefesh HaGedolah created the Shemona Esrei. So that people should be able to express themselves clearly, rather than just randomly, yeah.
We're talking parallel structure. I mean, Sha'asani Yisrael isn't all that different from Sha'asali Kol Tzarki.
One is about entity, and one is about...
I'm just talking structurally.
Reality is that these three brachos really stand on their own, even though we list them all together, but they're two separate portions of the siddur. They're the brachos of identity, that's the Shlo Asani series, and the brachos of the wake-up process.
So in terms of structure, we don't lose anything by turning it into one bracha.
Turning it into one bracha?
Yeah.
That I understand, but you would lose something structurally if you'd have two negative, one positive.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be parallel. Yeah.
I was going to say for Sha'asani Ben Horin, if you were to say that even afterwards, since you haven't yet, it doesn't have anything to do with mitzvot yet, until you bring up that you're
right.
A Jew.
Same idea, and the same analysis could be expressed, as Josh just pointed out, in the second bracha. Sha'asani Ben Horin, that came not on the heels of Shlo Asani Eved, after you already said Shlo Asani Goy, which means you're headed toward Judaism here, but rather Sha'asani Ben Horin, you made me a free man, so that touches upon fundamental idea that Judaism teaches. It's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos that Ein Lecha Ben Chorin L'Misha Osik V'Torah, the concept of guided freedom. The link between Pesach and Shavuos, these are famous ideas, right? That Pesach was incomplete unless there was a Shavuos, that's why you have the Sfira period linking them like a Chol Hamoed, because it's a joint holiday. The festival of freedom is that it has to be a guided freedom. To quote Mr. Joel, president of the university, so when he met with Mr. Bush, president of a different university, University of America. So, I don't know if he actually said this, but he claims that he said when they were meeting with a whole bunch of presidents of various major American universities, so President Bush stated that they have to bring the message of freedom. I'm not going to bother with the Bushian accent because I'm not so good at it and it's too early in the morning. So he said he has to bring the message of freedom to the entire world. That's what we have to do. So I don't know, Mr. Joel seems to be not too afraid of speaking out. He said, Mr. President, may I ask a question? I said, certainly. He said, I just want to ask concerning the President's very important message about bringing the message of freedom to the whole world. It isn't important that we teach the whole world what to utilize that freedom for. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing to be free, but you could also be free to kill, to rob, to rape, to murder, to aggrandize money for no other purpose other than to enrich yourself. Isn't it important that we give a certain message of a moral infrastructure and responsibility, whatever you want to call it, in terms of being a citizen of this great wide world that we live in? I thought that was good for it, especially in the White House. But I think Mr. Bush was masking. I think he agreed. But that's certainly an important point. So just say Sha'asani Ben Chorin without it being in the context of a Shlo Asani Eved, which is after Shlo Asani Goy, meaning where it's leading toward a sense of religious freedom, meaning freedom to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, freedom to channel the massive forces of animalis angelicus, as we've quoted in the past, for connection to our Creator, so then that is not really something to be so thankful for. That's, sad, of course, a sad episode, a very enormously tragic episode. That was the famous drasha that one of the Chassidish Rebbes gave in the concentration camps on Pesach. So they snuck away from the Nazis. They were able to make some kind of seder, hiding from them. And then they started singing, Holach Manya, Festival of Freedom. So what's going on? How can we do this? So the Rebbe got up, anticipating all their questions, and he gave this drasha. He said, the freedom that we're talking about in the night of the seder, No animal in human disguise can take away from us the majesty of man, which we still have. And the greatest of proof is that here we are in this Gehinnom here, and we're connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the Seder. So that's true freedom that can never ever be taken away, not in a jail, not in a camp, not in captivity. So this is the Abbas answer. The Taz gives another answer, which is due to time, we'll just say out. It's without reading inside. It's a controversial answer. I mean, in the sense that not controversial, it doesn't awaken any difficult topics. It's just difficult to understand if it's the correct answer. He says the following. I call this positive negativity or negative positivity. It says as follows. Let's say it would be in the positive. So you would say Shasan Yisrael, and that's it. In other words, non-Jews and slaves and women would not be on the map. Shasan Yisrael. So the Taz says that if you would say that, that would imply that there is no spiritual significance to those other types of people other than what you just mentioned. If a woman, let's say, would say Shasan Yisraelis, right? So that also would imply that anything she didn't mention, whether we're talking about non-Jews or we're talking about slaves, that those are totally irrelevant. Those are not part of the structure of man, if you will, of a pinnacle of creation. It starts with the box problem. Once you say Shasani Yisrael, you can't switch the order, right? You can't say Shasani Ish, we already discussed that. Once you say Shasani Yisrael, it's not according to the Taz because you want to have three brachos, because as far as Taz is concerned, what's wrong with one bracha? You know, three and one. But if you say Shasani Yisrael, then you're not even giving, I'll use the expression, you're not giving honorable mention to the other significant human beings in the world who also have enormous spiritual significance and potential to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's only by saying in the negative that you have the ability to have three brachos, and once you have three brachos, so those brachos are meant to be interpreted similar to what we had on the board earlier, that there's a gradation here, meaning that there are many entities in the world, all of which have spiritual inherent value and kedusha that are able to connect to their creator. Then, so we start with non-Jews, then we move on to avodim, then we move on to women, and then we move on to men. Again, men in terms of the greater obligation. All of them being significant in the sense that they are endowed with a divine soul and a tzelem elokim, being able to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm not going to digress now because it's not really our purpose. We could elaborate on this point in terms of, you know, great heroic figures in the non-Jewish world, great heroic figures in the slave world. Who can we start from? Let's start from the earliest slave. The earliest one that's mentioned by name in the Torah. Eliezer, right? Without him, basically Avraham Avinu would have been only half successful. In other words, he would have given over the Torah to his kids, but not in any way made a dent in the world. Eliezer is called Eliezer Ish Damesek, because Dolo Mashke Mitoras Rabba L'Acherim. Right? Or you can move on to Tevi, the slave of Rabbi Gamliel. In other words, there were many outstanding slaves who weren't the prototypical, low social strata, you know, nothing better than just, you know, like a machine. So many slaves were enormously noble. Which opens up a whole Pandora's box of Ashkafa in some terms of the water to allow for slavery. So that's a whole discussion, which is not a topic for now. A lot to be said about that. We discussed it very, very briefly before. So the Taz says that it's only by putting in the negative that you could have all three brachos. And those three brachos are meant to say that all these entities are significant, but I'm being appreciative and praising Kodesh Baruch Hu for giving me a situation in life in which I could express myself in an even more intense way in connecting to Hashem. So in other words, if it said it in the positive, that would be positive negativity. How so? Because it's like you're writing all the others off the map. If you put in the negative, so it's negative positivity. How so? By putting them on the table and saying, but I was given a greater dose. So when I threw this out before, and I'll just preempt the question, I said, does that really work? And I said, still, shalom sounds negative, right? And so the Taz says, well, you got to open your eyes to figure out exactly why it's written in the negative, because if it was written in the positive, again, you would only have one bracha, and then you wouldn't have all the others mentioned. There's a third answer, which I want to devote tomorrow to, and then we'll be able to turn the page as well, because it's Medrash. And that's a very fundamental answer that's given by others, quoted by the Bach, that we'll pick up with tomorrow.